Welcome to episode 240 of Friars on the Farm. Go off by Video in the Tree, starting off the new episode when with me is Roy.
Oh my gosh, how are we at 240 already? My, how time flies.
It flies, and we don't stop. You know, I mean, we do take some large breaks. There's some off time in the off season, obviously, but during the season, it's just pretty much week in, week out. We'll miss a week here and there, but yeah, 240 times we've done this.
Oh my goodness. All right. So today we've got our MLB minute. We've got a new signing to talk about. We got some minor league transactions going on. Not a whole lot on the minor league news side, but some pretty interesting little promotion that we saw. And then we've got our affiliate rundown.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk about the, you know, it's almost breaking news, but by the time you guys get this, it's going to be, you know, I've already watched two at bats from Leo DeVries. So it's now the Leo DeVries episode, I guess you want to call it.
All right. Welcome, Leo DeVries.
All right. But first, before we get started, hey, go to Apple, hit subscribe, give us a review. Go to YouTube, hit the subscribe button. I just posted all the videos for the audio of the last episode into the episode on the YouTube. Go on there, comment, subscribe. We really appreciate it. It helps us out. I don't know how it helps us out, but it gives us more visibility, and we'd like to do it. So please do that. Follow us on X, obviously, Instagram, Threads, and we have merch. I will put the link to the merch in the episode descriptions. And tell us what you think. We don't get too much feedback from you guys, which I guess is a good thing, because I guess no feedback is good feedback, or maybe when no one just—I don't know—you know, usually people complain is usually the feedback. So if I don't get any feedback, I guess everyone's enjoying it and they're loving the content.
All right. So with the Major League Minute, and it's kind of a minor league minute, but it's sort of fringy Major League. The Padres signed Donovan Solano to a minor league deal. Interesting signing, and I'm not sure how it's going to play. So he's 36 years old. Last year he played for Minnesota. He posted a 760 OPS, which is pretty respectable. Yeah. Guy gets on base a ton. Last year he played mostly first base, a little bit of second and third. Now, I think of him from his Giants days, which is now a couple years removed, where he was primarily a second baseman. What were your thoughts on this? Where do you think he might play?
You know, and I was going to say, and a Padre killer. I remember a couple of years ago, I thought he played third base but I think with Longoria might have been over there at third base. It's just depth, you know, why not? I wouldn't be surprised if they picked up Garrett Cooper that was released by the Cubs today, sent him to a minor league deal, put him at first base. You know, I'm not sure where that stands or where Preller stands on Garrett Cooper, but you just stockpile these guys, and he has major league experience, massive major league experience. So you just want to stock those guys, stash them in AAA, and if a need arises, he's there.
So what I'm thinking about is Manny Machado. He's around the corner. He's on paternity leave right now. Congratulations, Manny. Baby Manny's about to come into the world. So he's going to start playing in the field sometime soon. It sounds like that's not too far off where they're started playing him a day, give him a day or two off, and then he'll be playing back-to-back days. And the next thing you know, he'll be out there pretty much every day like he always is. And so once that happens, you're not going to need Tyler Wade, Eggy Rosario, and Graham Pauly on your roster. There's going to be room for maybe one or two of those guys.
Right.
So I could see that being a time where you bring up a Donovan Solano, maybe a Garrett Cooper that you can slot in to be your DH or your sub as you're giving guys days off. You're kind of rotating that DH position around the infield. Yeah. Garrett Cooper is somebody, he's looking for a major league job. He's going to want to come to a place where he can get major league at bats and work toward his next big contract. Solano, he's probably looking for what's the shortest path back to a major league, you know, paycheck.
The clock is ticking there.
Yeah. And I don't see where that is with the Padres, but I mean, I guess I'm not mad to have him. Maybe this will be like Iglesias last year, where he kept opting out and opting in and opting out and opting in, or opting out and re-signing, however that wicked cycle was going on. It's kind of a head scratcher for me.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll see how that goes. And it's, you know, it's to major league guy on a AAA roster, and that's what we got for it.
One thing about Solano and Cooper, they both are right-handed hitters. Now, Solano doesn't have much. I was looking at his splits. He doesn't really have much of a platoon split. He's the same guy, whether he's facing a righty or lefty. Cooper hits lefties better than righties, which most of the Padres roster hits lefties better than righties. So if there was a left-handed bat out there, if Garrett Cooper was left-handed, it would be an easy decision. But it's not quite that straightforward with being right-handed hitters.
Yeah. Well, and think about it. What is going to happen when Manny does come back? I think personally for me, obviously, Paulie needs to go down and continue to get consistent at bats, AAA. Eggy's done pretty well. He's done very respectable coming off the bench, getting that late inning, that late game at bat. You know, he's got a lot of swing and miss, but he's hitting the ball much harder when he does hit it. And Tyler
Wade, extra base machine right now. It seems like every time he puts bat to ball, he's hitting a double or a home run.
You know, and Tyler Wade, you know, I you love to see it and hate to say it, I guess you want to say, but he's holding his own. And that's that, you know, those are those pop-up guys that you get, the Tyler Wades of the world, where, you know, you sign with the deal, he gets through spring training, he comes in and he's performing and he's contributing. And
right.
If when Manny does come up, you know, I think they might even want to send Eggy down and have, you know, I don't know, maybe have Wade go down and get more consistent at bats than, you know, the job that Eggy's been doing coming off the bench like that. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see.
Well, Wade has no minor league options.
Okay.
And so if they're going to carry one bench glove, I think it makes sense to be him. He's a shortstop. He can play all over the infield. Yep. You know, people were talking about his defense. He's not Manny Machado. There's a handful of guys in the league that play that caliber of defense. He's still a pretty darn good third baseman. Nicky Rosario has impressed me at third base. I don't think you carry both of them. I really think you bring in a bench bat and then you have Wade as just your glove that you can bounce around the infield. It does help that you can move Ha-Sung Kim over to second base. You can move Bogarts over to shortstop. Kim can play third base. Bogarts was a third baseman his first year in the league. Cronenworth's playing first base exclusively, but he can play all over the infield too. So they have flexibility when Manny comes back and they're trying to shuffle days off. That seems like the thing to do these days, rather than having a dedicated DH. You're using your DH slot to give your guys, you know, get them off their legs for a day.
Yeah. And, you know, what this household has been asking is, what is the update for Manny? How close is she to having the baby? We were expecting, you know, with the paternity leave yesterday that, okay, any day now, like we're watching the game, we're waiting for the update. We're waiting for the update today. I mean, I looked more on Twitter for that announcement and Instagram than anything else. Do we know if it's a boy or a girl?
I haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
Like I'd heard that Yane was pregnant. I heard that, I don't know, a few months ago.
Right. But she was already like 7 months pregnant.
So we are brand new grandparents as of earlier this month. So that's awesome. I feel way too young to be a grandparent, but there was a date where if the baby doesn't arrive by this date, we're going to go ahead and, you know, bring the baby into this world. So I bet you they've got something along those lines. There's a day where if the baby's not out on his or her own, he or she will be brought into this world. And so they're in Colorado until Thursday. And then they come back Friday to face the Phillies. I'd like to think that Manny will be back on Friday, but who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, and that explains everything with him. You know, you saw the pictures on Facebook of them leaving the clubhouse, getting on the bus. And then you see Manny's car. I'm like, well, maybe he's driving to the airport. Like, maybe he's not taking the bus. Maybe he's getting dropped off at the airport or something. No, he was heading straight home.
Yeah, he's heading home. Yeah, people are talking about rest. So he's not going to be getting any sleep. No, no, no. Manny will have nannies. He's in that tax bracket. He's going to have 24-hour nanny care. Taking care of the baby. Like, I'm sure he's going to be an involved, active father, but he's not going to have to be getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go feed the baby and change the diapers and all that stuff. Right. He's still going to be getting his sleep. And I know these guys, they get their $10,000 mattresses and sleep is very important to them.
And I'll just say this and we can move on if you want. I kind of hope for a girl for Yane. I mean, she has sacrificed so much to be, you know, the baseball wife. I mean, so many of those baseball wives just sacrifice so much of their husband. You know, give her a little girl. You know, let Manny be a girl dad and just beam with pride with, you know, her growing up. I don't know. Just one of the, I was just throwing that out there, kind of thinking about that.
Yeah, I feel like the girl dad thing, I hadn't really heard that until Kobe. And he had his girls and he was talking about how proud he was and how great it was to be a girl dad. And now that's, you know, I feel like a lot of guys, they want a boy. They want somebody rough and tumble to carry on the family name and all that stuff. Now being a girl dad is a wonderful thing that people speak, you know, with warm, warm tones. I love it. So, you know, whatever little Manny is, I'm sure he's going to be a beautiful little baby. I just hope that Manny Senior comes back rested and ready to go, and that elbow is starting to feel a little bit better. So you start throwing the ball across the diamond again.
Yeah, he'll be feeding the baby like get that bottle elbow. All right, let's move on. Let's get it on. Okay, so for the minor league minute, everyone knows here. You guys know this by now. That Leo DeVries got sent to Lake Elsinore. He's playing right now. He has seen two pitches. He's swung at two pitches. He's made contact with two pitches. The 2024 international prospect, $4.2 million signing bonus. I didn't see any of the numbers from the ACL. You know, we were talking to John Conniff, and he was kind of surprised that it took this long. But with someone so young, and we talk about this as well, someone so young coming from the Dominican Republic, you want to make sure they have a firm foundation. You know, before they move them on. And what AJ Preller always says is you move the talented. The
gift. Right. It's another month of English classes. It's another month of learning how to do your own laundry and how to place an order at Chipotle and things that we take for granted having grown up here, you know, native English speakers and all this. So I'm sure there was a little bit of adjustment. And then there's probably some things on the field that they were working on, the mechanics on this and just fundamentals of baseball that, that you don't really see until you're in a competitive environment. Today's his first game. He's starting at shortstop. He's batting fourth in the order. They've got him hitting cleanup. You say he's seen two pitches and swung at two pitches
Swung at two pitches. The first one was he hit the inside pitch. The second pitch that he saw was a little opposite field. You know, let the ball get deep and just kind of blooped it into right, but the right fielder caught it. We're recording as this game is going on, and I got to focus on the podcast, so I'm gonna try not to go back and forth. But here's what Sam Dykstra from MILB Pipeline wrote a little, and they got some quotes here from the system. So Padres officials have been enamored with DeVries' pitch recognition and contact ability at such a young age, and those skills are big drivers on his aggressive assignment to this point. Standing six two, he has a chance to go into above average power as well, and his background as a basketball point guard serves him well with plus speed and movement at shortstop, and definitely on the 4 a.m. Preller pickup basketball team in spring training. That last part wasn't in there. Quote, Leah was a talented player who was also very intelligent, Westman wrote in an email on Sunday. He has met all of the challenges that we've faced with him, and he loves to play baseball. We're excited to see him get out into the system.
Yeah, so don't put too much weight into these early results. It may take him a couple of games to get going, you know, hyper aggressive. I'm sure you get up there and the ball's coming at you looking like a beach ball and you just want to put it out of the park. But I'm curious to see as time goes. I'm kind of glad that his first game is on the road. So he kind of gets those first tee jitters out of his system before he comes back home. We get to see him in Lake Elsinore. I'm hoping to get up there and see his first game. I got to see, Ethan Salas's first game in Lake Elsinore, and he wound up ripping a double in that game. So I'd love to be able to bear witness to that. So along with, Leo DeVries, JD Gonzalez, Jan Daniel Gonzalez, catcher that was drafted last year out of Puerto Rico. He is also going to Lake Elsinore. He was kind of in the shadow of the Ethan Salas signing. Gonzalez was working off a knee injury as he was drafted, so he didn't do a whole much in the combine,
ACL,
the pre-draft workout that they did. But I saw him in spring training doing drills with the prospect camp. I mean, the guy's super athletic around the plate. He's got a cannon of an arm. And Josh Norris of Baseball America has posted a couple of videos of his swing. And he is in love with the look and the shape of JD Gonzalez's left-handed swing. It's a smooth, pretty, very quiet-looking, compact swing from the left-hand side. So all the tools are there. And the age of a high school senior, similar to Salas. He's, I think, a year older than Salas. Yeah. So there's a lot to dream on.
He was drafted out of high school. Puerto Rico is an American right. protectorate. So he was in the, so he's a high school catcher. Go on. I thought, yeah.
Right. So we see how long it took for Luis Camposano to make it to the majors. And I feel like even as quickly as he made it up, still high school catchers tend to take a long time to develop. There's a lot to learn. There's so much they have to develop on both sides of the ball. But when you get somebody with the advanced skill set coming out of the gate like that, who knows? So somebody else to keep an eye on. Colton Vincent wound up going down to make room for him. He's back in the complex. Okay. So we'll probably see him in the ACL. And then finally, Adan Moreno moved up with DeVries and Gonzalez. So he's with the Storm as well, right-handed pitcher. And then a corresponding move, and this is also pretty exciting, Bradley Rodriguez is going up to the Tin Caps. I'm a little bit sad about that because I never got a chance to see him in Mike Elsinore.
Right.
All I've seen is footage of him blowing 98. He's got a changeup. He's got a wipeout slider. The guy looks like somebody who could move real quick if he can avoid the walks.
Certainly a Andres Munoz type situation. And, you know, hey, welcome to Fort Wayne with 100-mile-an-hour winds, baby. It's coming down. You know, it's funny thinking about that because I read the Jed Norris tweet and I'm reading it like J.D. Gonzalez has a beautiful, like it spelled out beautiful. I'm like, oh, beautiful. Okay, yeah.
But it's not just beautiful. It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
He wanted to embellish that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
so Bradley Rodriguez. Okay. So you said something about, you brought up Andres Munoz and that put a thought, how many, and I don't mean to be negative or cautious, but it's like, how many bullets does somebody who throws 100 mile an hour really have in their arm? And it's hard to say. So we saw that with Munoz that he was throwing 103, 104 miles an hour. And he came up with the Padres. He went back down to El Paso. The next thing you know, he had Tommy John surgery, and he was gone for a year and a half. Now he's back up with the Mariners, and he's doing okay. But there is that question of, okay, how many bullets are in that arm, and how many of them do you want spent at a minor league game if there's the possibility that you could use that at the major league level in the near future?
Yeah, but you got to throw strikes, and that's the big thing. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but he's been pretty exciting since he's been in Elsinore. We'll see how it goes as he moves up. But you're right; he could be a fast mover, or he could blow out his elbow this year. But I think the Padres will be very cautious with those guys. They want to make sure that they are ready because in the major leagues they will hit 100 miles an hour, and you don't want to stunt that development. Even with pitchers, you don't want to stunt that development. If you bring him up too fast and he tries too hard and gets out of sync with his mechanics and, then blows out his arm. So some moves there, some early moves. I'm stoked for stoked to get DeVries here. I'm really happy to have Gonzalez. I was hoping to see him last year. I was actually hoping to kind of see him break camp with the Storm, but that took till just now for him to get up there. A couple of guys that we hope to talk to in the future as well.
So I pulled up Rodriguez's numbers. He's pitched in 4 games, 5 1/3 inning pitched. He struck out 9 and he's only walked 1. So tiny, tiny sample size, but that's 15 strikeouts per 9 and 1.7 walks per 9.
Yeah.
So far, that's really good. But that's, again, a tiny, tiny sample size. Last year, he was walking almost 6 guys per 9 innings in the DSL. But it's a whole different thing. He, I don't believe he spent any time in the Arizona Fall League, but in spring training, he was opening a lot of eyes this year.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, that's it. All we have for the minor league minute. We'll be right back with the affiliate rundown. All right, let's start with Lake E, like Elsinore, painting the corners. Friday, righty Bradley Rodriguez pitched in the 9th to notch his 2nd save of the year. The hard-throwing 20-year-old struck out a pair of hitters in a perfect frame and now has a pair of 9 strikeouts to his 5 1/3 innings pitched. Opposing batters are hitting just 111. Now this is A-ball. you know, 100 miles is 100 miles an hour, no matter where you hit it. But you certainly got to take into account this is a ball. This is the lowest level. As he does move up, we'll see how the higher level of play plays up with that 100 mile an hour fastball and the devastating slider.
It wouldn't surprise me one bit to see him up at AA by the end of the year.
Huh? Yeah, absolutely. So Friday, Eric Yost made his first professional start and pitched well. The 21-year-old threw three innings and allowed a run on four hits, walking a pair and striking out four. No relation to Ned Yost. We looked it up.
You looked it up? Okay. We were curious about that. There's a Chase Valentine. Is he related? You got a few guys on that Storm roster right now.
And Isaiah Lowe definitely isn't related to. I was thinking Lowe from the Red Sox, bud.
Oh, I was thinking of Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe. Ah.
I don't think he's related to Rob Lowe either.
All right. So then Saturday to finish up the painting the corners for the Storm, Isaiah Lowe, 21, pitched two innings and gave up one run. He's slowly ramping up at 1.5 ERA in his first six innings with eight strikeouts is a nice sign. Lowe has walked six, but still only allowed one run in three games. And that's something we're going to talk about here in a minute as we continue with painting the corners and the pitching in the system. Is you're going to see some of these younger guys with a lot of walks, a lot of strikeouts, not giving up a lot of runs. And that's where the development comes in. That's where they're still learning how to pitch at the professional level. They're still learning about themselves as a pitcher. And you're going to see some of that as we move forward into some other areas in the painting the corners.
Right. So Isaiah Lowe, he's going two innings per appearance so far. He's definitely ramping up slow. He was fighting through some injuries last year. But promising guy. Yeah. He's in these preseason top 30 organizational lists. He tends to fall in there in that last, 20 to 30, where guys like to put somebody that they like to dream on. So he's got the frame and he's got the potential. All right. So moving on the screws. On Thursday, center fielder Ryan Wilson singled, scored two runs, and drew four walks out of the leadoff spot. The former Davidson outfielder has yet to notch an extra base hit in 10 games this year, but he's been an on-base machine for the Storm. He's drawn 11 walks, ranking fourth in the circuit. Teammate Jay Beshears leads the league with 16 and an otherworldly 600 OBP. So Ryan Wilson is somebody that I hadn't heard a whole lot about coming into this year, but he's a major contributor to the Storm team so far.
Absolutely. And he was one of the guys we were going to talk to this last weekend and flash. It just didn't happen this Saturday. Even if we would have got up there at a decent time, they were sold out, talking to Justin. He's like, you guys, it'll be a mess if you guys are here interviewing guys. Cause they opened the gates at 4:00. Our interviews were at 3:45 and 4:00 respectively. And it just didn't work out. We're going to get up there. I've been in contact with Ryan's dad. He's gave us some fun stories to talk about. I'm really stoked. It's nothing embarrassing. It's all cool stuff. But we definitely, finally got a hold of someone in the family to get a story. Maybe I'll ask for another one, but we're sure going to talk to him and Braden Carpathios and ask him all the Carpathian questions we have for him.
But yeah, I've got a lot of Carpathian trivia for him.
And this is last Thursday. He's had several walks since then. Like the kid, and there is, with all this pushing for power in prospects, you see it in a guy like Jackson Merrill where the power isn't there yet. The extra bases aren't quite there yet. But the getting on base, the moving the runners over, the singles into the gap, getting scoring runs is definitely a part of the game that I think may be coming back with the we'll have to talk to Doc Willis about this, about the changing of the ball and just the overall makeup of a major league lineup.
Well, the little things that they've done about limiting pitchers being able to throw over to a base, making the bases a little bit larger. They're trying to do some things to make more activity, more action on the bases, which I'm all for. And so that plays more for the small ball. And so far with the Padres, I feel like we're seeing some more of that. Like today's game, they started off with a single, a single, a single. Yeah. And then next thing you know, you look up and they've posted two or three runs up. Yeah. It's not just about getting a couple guys on base and trying to get that big, three run homer. That's nice. But that doesn't always come. And at the same time with like Elsinore, you're talking about single A pitching. Maybe you got somebody on the mound that just can't find the zone that day. Yeah. And, and a smarter hitter like Ryan Wilson will step up there and know that he's just going to wait for his pitch. And if he can't find it, good chance he's going to be on first base anyway.
Yeah, definitely. And doing research on him all through his college career, more walks than strikeouts. And, you know, the Padres love on base.
Absolutely. Because what does he do? He gets on base.
I'm going to put that on the YouTube.
I need to figure out how to do one of those soundboard things so that when that comes up, I can just hit the button and have that clip play. All right, so on Friday, Romeo Sanabria, my apologies, extended his hitting streak to 5 games with a single. In addition, he drew a walk and scored a run. First baseman is hitting .348, .434, .478 with 3 doubles and a homer. He added another homer on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then Dylan Head is starting to pick it up. It has 5 extra base hits in 12 games, including his first homer on Saturday. So the Storm, they named Dylan Head their famous star of the week. That's the, I don't know exactly off top of my head what the award is, but it's the Carl's Jr. sponsored player of the week award, and very well deserved. He had the walk-off hit. He's already had a couple of walk-off hits. And I love in that post game or like, right, you know, the hit happens and they've got the camera on the field and he's calling out, that's game, ball game. And he's got that dog in him. He's got that.
Yeah, and right now he's on first base, and Leo DeVries is at the plate, batting left-handed. So the first time that Leo did come up, it were 2 right-handed at-bats. Here's a left-handed at-bat, and we're going to see what happens here. Up, he took a pitch. What do you know? Okay.
There is some plate discipline there.
Right. So batting around for Lake Elsinore is Saturday. The Storm had their highest attendance since 2019. 5,336 people came in through the gates. Talking to Justin, it was a madhouse. I mean, congratulations for those guys. It's always good to see massive crowds at minor league ball clubs, especially in A-ball, where they're really surviving on the margins. I'm kind of glad we didn't go up there because as much as I love crowds, trying to get our job, you know, trying to get our work done, and then having to just have so many people at the ballpark gets a little bit, it's a little unnerving.
I mean, it's fun at the big league ballpark. I mean, we went to the game last Friday and it was a packed house and I love that atmosphere, but there is something nice about going to a minor league game and being able to sit and have, you know, a little bit of space to yourself and it's a little bit quieter. So if somebody wants to chirp at the umpire, you know, the umpire is going to hear it. The umpire might throw the manager out because he thinks that the manager is the one chirping. Did you see that yesterday?
I don't.
Oh my God. Let's talk about that for a minute here. That was hilarious. And the reaction afterwards too. So Aaron Boone's out there and apparently there was a pitch inside, hit the guy on the foot. The batter looked like he may or may not have swung. The umpire called down to first base. The guy said he didn't swing. So, but I mean, there's a question and Boone's chirping. He chirps all the time.
Yeah. Big chirp.
But this first inning and Hunter Wendelstedt's already going over to him saying, you've already said enough. I don't want to hear another word from you. One more word and you're out. And what happens is the guy in the first row behind him goes, hey, and that's it. Boom, you're out of here.
Yeah. And the funny thing is Boone was like, he was looking at his fingernails and just like this, and you hear, what? I didn't say anything. I didn't, you know, then he comes in, he starts getting his
money. Why is the mouse in church?
Well, so that's, and here's the deal. How, and then even Hunter Wendelstedt had, you know, he had a soundbite after the game talking about players. We got to keep players. He thought maybe a player said it. Because we have to keep players in the game. I don't know what that meant. It might have been a fake tweet that I saw about his quote. But you have to, like, other umpires got to come in and go, like, look, it wasn't him. But I think here's the deal is once you, a ball is a ball, a strike is a strike, you don't call it back unless it's reviewable. And particularly if you throw someone out, you can't go, okay, I'm sorry, you get a stay. If right or wrong, you throw someone out, you're done.
Right, but it's the first inning. What are you doing taking your mask off and pointing fingers and shouting into the bench and saying one more word and you're out of here? It's the first inning. You know, guy, you know, Aaron Boone's going to sit there and jaw your ear off. But after the game, for him to say, oh, I've never thrown a fan out for something that a player or a coach did, and like insisting that he heard something from the far end of the bench. No, we all know exactly what happened. Just
you see the guy in blue, he's like, you see him say something. And he
you see, there's the camera right on him. Yeah, so be honest about it. Okay, I made a mistake.
Yeah,
we're all human. Jim Joyce blew that call with Galarraga. It is perfect game. Should have been a perfect game. But the way that he stepped up, he owned it and had the conversation afterwards and has been so – everybody loves and respects Jim Joyce for that.
Yeah.
Hunter Wendelstedt, all he did was made himself look even worse than he already did.
Cute little note for those of you guys that watch TV and see the commercial with Ken Griffey Jr. and his wife.
He's in that.
Jim Joyce is like, you need glasses, hump. You're out of here. And, you know, he grabs it. That's Jim Joyce.
I love it. I love the self-deprecation. You know, we're humans. We make mistakes. Right. That's one of the things that my dad was a Little League umpire. And when they were starting to talk about bringing technology into the game, we were seeing it with football at the time. And he was so adamant about the human element being a part of umpiring. And I always want to have the guy back there pulling the chain on the imaginary chainsaw or whatever to ring up guys for strikes. So that emphatic out call at first base, when there's a close play, your eyes shift to the umpire and the umpire puts the exclamation point on that. I appreciate that. It's part of the show. It always needs to be part of the show, but they're humans out there. They make mistakes. So until there's a tool that helps them, you know, make the right call. But this wasn't even about making the right call.
Right.
This was just being a jerk and inserting your personality into the game. I don't think you need to do that, especially in the first inning.
Absolutely. All right. You want to move on?
All right. So enough jibber jabber. Let's move on to Fort Wayne. Okay. So I'll take paint in the corners here. On Thursday, Miguel Cienfuegos struck out 7 in 4 2/3 innings, allowing 4 runs. He allowed a homer to top Reds prospect Cam Collier in the first and then shut down Dayton for the next 3 innings. You know, the Reds have a pretty solid farm system right now. They've got some really talented players.
Dude, that Cam that's one thing to beast.
He is. Yeah. So that's one thing to pay attention to when you're looking at these lineups. So like the Storm, they were in Visalia and the Storm just rough up Visalia all the time. Now they're in Rancho Cucamonga, the Dodgers organization, a little bit tougher. So, you know, week to week, you see some changes. So just because somebody's going off doesn't mean that. I mean, yeah, that's great. But you also have to look at who's pitching and who's on the other side.
Yeah.
Okay. So on Friday, Tyler Morgan with one with another brilliant outing out of the bullpen. Morgan pitched the final 4 innings to notch his first professional victory. He allowed just 2 hits while striking out 5 in his 4 innings. The 14th rounder from 2023 has thrown 9 innings in 3 relief appearances. He's walked just 2 while striking out 13 batters. But a 4-inning appearance as a reliever, that has me wondering if they're kind of piggybacking him, trying to stretch him out a little bit,
right?
Or was it a matter of just efficiency that you go out there, you get 3 quick outs. Okay. Go out again. Okay. 3 more quick outs. What the heck? Go take another inning.
Yeah. I think a lot of these guys in A ball are definitely on pitch counts. So maybe that's by design. Maybe it's by undesign, you know, too many pitches in the first couple innings. But 4 innings for this early in the season from an A ball pitcher is definitely good to see, a good sign, I guess you want to say, because there's some efficiency there, because they're all on pitch counts. I think Lesko, what we're going to talk about here in a minute, is in the 70-80 range. They got to be there, you know.
You know, there's kind of an underlying truth there that so you've got all your guys that are on these pitch count limits, and you have only so many pitchers. So what if the game or two before they wound up wearing a bunch of guys out? And now it's the 5th inning and you're looking at your bullpen and okay, well, he pitched yesterday. He pitched Wednesday. All right. Well, Tyler, game's yours. Go get him. sometimes that happens, kids. You know,
yeah.
He's the one guy with the live arm and you got the rest of the game. Go figure it out. All right. So you mentioned Dylan Lesko on Saturday. He went a career high 5 innings, struck out 6 with 3 walks. So in 3 starts this year, 12 innings pitched, he's only allowed 3 hits. But with 10 walks versus 11 strikeouts, he continues to search for his command.
Yeah, and that's all right with him. You know, and that's the thing is even with all those walks, still got 3 hits. He's missing the plate, but when he does hit the plate, he's striking guys out, or he's inducing weak contact, and just let the season progress as it's going to progress. And soon those walks are going to start turning into strikes, and those numbers are going to turn around. And once again, it's development. He's still very young. He's still early in his career, certainly coming back from Tommy John. So, you know, the good sign is three hits in the 12 innings. You know, that's what's really good to see.
Right. Yeah. As I was saying before in one of our prior discussions, I'm more curious about like month to month, what kind of progression you see from him game to game. It's a little bit too fine to be trying to interpret box scores. So is the command getting better as he gets into May, June, July, as the heat starts to come?
Definitely in Fort Wayne as the heat starts to come, because it gets very, very cold there.
Did you see they got rained out again today?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I took a nap when I got home. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, they got a double rainbow. That's nice and beautiful. But now they're going to have to play another doubleheader tomorrow to make it up.
All right. Let's move on the screws. Griffin Dorsing went on a rampage.
Yes.
Thursday, dude. He first inning, he hit a two-run shot. Then in the fourth inning, he hit a solo shot. Then in the 10th. So they were tied up. In the 10th inning, he hits a go-ahead RBI double. Just an absolute beast of a night in the minor leagues. So the good news here with Dorsing is last year he had 27% strikeout rate. So far in this early go of the season, he's cut it down to 17. So that's huge with him. As a power guy, he's a little bit older. I think he's 25. I think he turns 26 this year, you know, to be in high A, but to cut down the strikeouts and see if he can't get some of those, you know, more contact with the ball and move up.
Yeah. Right now he is 3 years older than the average player in high A.
Yeah.
So it's time for him to earn his promotion and move on up. So far this year, he's hitting .298 with a .355 on base and slugging .526. If he keeps that up, he'll see AA by the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's another guy. I love this kid. Every time I watch the Fort Wayne, he's getting a hit. He's in the middle of everything. And it's Kai Murphy, who had a career night on Friday. He went 4-for-4 with 2 doubles and 3 RBIs. He's hitting .300 with 9 stolen bases, but more than anything, this kid is every ball hit in the air, he's catching it. Every time I see him up to the plate, he's driving a guy in, he's hitting. He's not a big kid. He's ASU grad. One of those pesky guys that, you know, you love the pesky guys in baseball where they're just always getting on, stealing bags, just kind of always have to worry about that guy. I think that's the kind of player that Kai Murphy is.
Well, he's son of Brewers manager Pat Murphy, former Padres bench coach, one-time Padres. I think he was Padres manager for a couple of months at the end of the season.
Didn't he intern after, was it Andy Green got fired?
No, it was after Bud Black.
Bud Black.
After Bud Black left. And that was right when AJ Preller came on the scene. But he's not just a legacy draftee. You know, a lot of times you see the son or the nephew of a big leaguer, they get picked because of bloodlines and because maybe you're doing a favor to somebody. But that's not the case with Kai Murphy. He's definitely proven himself to earn his spot, at least where he's at right now. We saw him a bunch in spring training. It seemed like he was in a bunch of the big league games.
Yeah.
And he looked like he fit in, plays real good defense. Like I said, he's kind of a dirtbag. He's hard-nosed. I appreciate that. He's all over the place.
Although he's a Sun Devil, he's a dirtbag.
Right. Yeah, but dirtbags are, what is that, Long Beach State?
I think so. All right, let's move on to Sunday. In the 10th inning, with the score tied 3-3, Devin Ortiz stepped up to the plate with Homer Bush on second. For the second game in a row, the Twin Caps third baseman knocked in the game-winning run. Yesterday, it was a two-run homer in the ninth. On Sunday, Ortiz cranked a RBI double to dead center field to take a 4-3 lead. The second-year Tin Cap went 2-for-4 with 2 doubles and a season-high 3 RBIs. Another one of those kids you just kind of keep an eye on. You know, you're not necessarily a draft and fall, but you draft him and you watch him become a ball player.
So the Fort Wayne Journal Gazette has a newsletter, so you can sign up for their email newsletter. And so now I'm seeing a lot more of their articles than I did before. And they're talking to him a lot. He seems like a bit of a he's built like a leader. He's not afraid to talk to the media and the team seems to rally around him. He plays all over the place, but he's been playing third base most of the time. Interesting guy to keep an eye on. He's kind of like a Marcos Castagnon type, I think.
Yeah. So real quick from Marcos Castagnon, I was watching the AA game here before we went on live. He was hit in the face earlier this week. And what prompted that news is Ripken Reyes got hit in the face with the pitch. Not too bad. He took his bag, but Castagnon had to leave the game, got stitches, and was not in the lineup tonight. So, you know, that stuff, the minor league stuff, guys, they don't really put in the news. If a guy gets hurt like that, you either got to watch the game or they got to release that information. But listening to the double A game, you know, for missions, that's what they said after Ripken got hit in the face as well.
Well, thoughts to Marcos. Hope he's okay.
Yeah.
Hope he gets back on the field soon. And, you know, sometimes you hear about somebody that they'll take one up and in like that, and it rattles them. Yeah. Like they'll flinch a little bit, or it's hard to find the same confidence. I hope he can find his way through that and, you know, get back on the field and start raking again.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's discuss, you know, Homer Bush Jr. is doing okay. He's doing all right in high A. Isn't jumping off the page, but the kid's got a lot of, he's got a lot. He's got a lot of baseball on him. Ethan Salas, on the other hand, the young kid is starting off really slow. That's why we don't see him in the rundown every week.
Right. He's batting 222, 345, 311. Of his 10 hits, four of them are doubles. I like the 345 on base. He's still showing some patience at the plate. It just tells me that when he's putting the ball in play, he's not finding gaps. Yeah. And his strikeout rate, I haven't pulled his numbers, but maybe his strikeout rate's up a little bit. But, you know, he's 17 years old. He still hasn't turned 18.
Yeah.
You know, got to give the guy some time. He's way up above his level as far as his age is. I mean, he should be a senior in high school this year.
Absolutely.
And to be playing in high A ball is just unconscionable that he's even there to begin with.
Yeah, and they are going to throw everything at him. Like, yeah, you think he hit a slider? Hit this. You know, so they're gonna do everything. And pitchers aren't just going to lay it up there. You know, they're going to do what they can to get him out. And, you know, with a 345, it's not too bad with a 222 average. So you're right. He is not taking, you know, he's taking his walks. And let the bat come because the glove is there. And
right.
We're not worried. I just wanted to note that. Just kind of want to talk about it because usually our big stars we talk about in every affiliate, and there hasn't been much to talk about Ethan other than throwing guys out left and right.
Well, we talk about the league adjusting to a player, and being as hyped a prospect as Ethan is, I'm sure the players on the opposing team, when they get their iPads and they've got whatever footage they can find of the opposing team, he's probably the first guy that they're looking for. Okay, what does Ethan Salas look like? What does his swing look like? Do we have a spray chart? Do we have a heat map for him? What's he good at? What's he not good at? So maybe they're starting to figure out how to put a book together on him. And then it's up to him to figure out how to adjust. Close the gap in the swing, maybe make some adjustment to the approach to close things up. I was talking to somebody on Twitter about Jackson Merrill, and they were talking about busting him in. That's going to be the thing. They're going to bust him inside and hit him hot, up and in and take away all of his power, and all he can do is weak spray balls to the opposite side. But it's a matter of adjustment.
Yeah.
At some point, I mean, right now he's got the highest batting average on road games of anybody in baseball. Right. So they're going to adjust to that. They're going to start looking at him a little more closely. Okay, how can we approach him? How can we attack him? And then he's a smart guy. He'll figure out how to approach it. You see the ebb and the flow in guys' numbers when they go through those adjustments.
Yeah, and they are professionals. And that's look at this break time. Oh, I thought you were getting.
Sometimes you need help opening a jar of garlic.
I thought you were getting like a beverage. Like someone's bringing you a beverage. We're not editing that out. That's not being edited out.
No, sure. That stays in.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay.
That's me doing my job as the man of the house, right?
Man of the house. Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Take us to batting around here. We got some audio to bring in.
Okay. So Thursday's extra innings game came to a climactic end when Kai Murphy threw the runner out at home plate for the third out of the game.
Here's the set again by Castro. And the payoff begin to Rodriguez. It's on the way. Line drive, base hit right field. Here comes Tanner. A good throw might get him. The throw to the plate is in plenty of time, and he is out. The game is over. Perfect throw by Murphy and Wright, and Fort Wayne wins the game by a score of 7-6.
Dude.
Of Fort Wayne's first 12 games, only one has been decided by more than 3 runs. The Tin Caps have played 7 one-run games, 2 two-run games, and 2 three-run games. And then one last note here. Tin Caps catchers lead the Midwest League in caught stealing at 36%. The league average is 20%. Ethan Salas leads the circuit, having thrown out five runners trying to steal, while Anthony Villar has caught three runners, which ranks sixth. As a team, the Tin Caps have only committed seven errors, tied for the second fewest in the team league. Okay, so what I was saying about the other teams scouting on Salas, flip side, if you're a runner and you got some speed and you're standing there on first base, you're sitting there going, oh, Ethan Salas, you think you're hot stuff.
Right.
Oh, what's your pop time? Yeah, oh, let's see. Oh, I'm gone. Oh, no.
Pop time is 0.75. Yeah. And throws a
seed. Whatever his pop time is, it's top of the scale. So there was a clip that – so there was a throw coming in, and it wound up – the throw beat the runner. He had the tag at home. But I was watching his feet, and I've learned, you know, talking to baseball people, that you watch a player's feet, and that gives you an idea of how quick and how athletic they are.
Yeah.
And for a catcher, his feet – like even when he's not trying to make a fast play, he's so light and nimble on his feet. It really impressed me. So part of that pop time is being able to get up out of your crouch and get into position. And with him, it happens like that.
Absolutely. So that's some good news coming out of Fort Wayne. Let's move on to San Antonio and Pain in the Corners. Way back on Tuesday, Austin Crowe gave up a one run in the first inning, and that was it. Lights out. The Southpaw allowed one run on three hits while striking out six batters. The week before, his start before that wasn't so great. He didn't give up like three runs or so. This second one, I know it's even a week past. I wanted to get Krobe on. I wanted to get him on the Painting Corner segment. We love the kid. He's a friend of the podcast and a great outing.
You know, it's not just so you struggle with adversity, but it's the bounce back. So you have a bad game. What do you do the next chance you have? And so that's always good to see somebody bounce back with a strong game.
Yeah, absolutely. Then Thursday had a major. I mean, this is like Robbie Snelling last year. It's like, okay, here we go. Continues to be must-watch starts. You have to take the time to find out when he pitches. Get on MILB. If you have the MLB app and you have the MLB TV package or the Padres package, you can watch the minor league games. But this game, he did have a little bit of drama. The right-hander allowed one base runner in each of the first three innings. However, he kept the hooks off the scoreboard early on. Through the first three innings, he allowed two hits, one walk while striking out two batters. In 16 innings this year, he's walked just two batters. Thursday's outing lowered his ERA to 0.56.
That's tiny. That's so tiny. Crushing your head.
Crushing the tiny head.
Last year, Robbie Snelling, that was kind of the story about him, that he first inning, he'd get a couple runners on and then he would bear down and you know, not let anybody score. Sounds like Adam Mazur's got a little bit of that wired the same way.
Absolutely. And then to move on to, you know, the next night, Friday night, Robbie Snelling came only an out away from getting a win. Snelling's night ended during the bottom of the fifth due to a pitch count. The Southpaw threw 78 pitches and 4 2/3 innings of work. Along the way, he allowed one run on two hits with three walks and five strikeouts. His walks are up this year, but in 13.2 innings, he struck out 15 while allowing the batting average of 149. Still just hitting 149 off the lefty.
He's at Double A. He's pitching at the highest level he's ever pitched. The guys have more advanced approaches. They have a more refined eye. So they may know when he's trying to set him up for that slider off the plate and spit on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And remember, he's still just 20 years old.
Right.
Not to be outdone, though. Victor Lizarraga allowed a two-out single and they drew a walk and then his day was over. He pitched two innings. He's still moving up. They're still bringing him along very slowly. No injuries, just want to get him slowly acclimated to Double A. But he looked really good. I watched that inning. I watched those two innings. But Victor Lizarraga is even younger than – I think he's even younger than Snelling. I think he's 19.
Right. He's a baby.
Yeah. All right, Sunday night, his end in the bottom of the third due to a pitch limit. The right-hander retired the first five batters he faced until issuing a walk in the bottom of the second inning.
Yep. So it's, you know, you got to have some patience, especially with these young kids that are at such a high level. They're going to struggle. You want to see how they deal with that adversity and work through it. Yeah. So on the screws, on Wednesday, outfielder Robert Perez Jr. is starting to find his stride. After starting the year 1-for-16, he's now hit safely in each of his last four games. Over that span, he's batting .417, that's 5-for-12, and has raised his batting average from .063 to .214. On Friday, he hit his first homer of the season. The 23-year-old signed with the Padres as a minor league free agent in the offseason. He's a pretty big boy.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely. Then on Thursday, on the third pitch of the 10th inning, Cole Cummings hit a 2-run home run over the right field wall. His first long ball of the season made it a 3-1 game. He had a double early in the game. And then finally here, Jacob Marcy. We haven't talked about him a whole lot because he's been struggling in the early going. They continue to bust him inside. And so I was talking about adjustments just a minute ago. And it sounds like last year he was able to exploit the far side of the plate and get extended. And that's where he was finding his power. So now that they got a book on him, I guess that's the book is you bust him inside and you just saw him off, and he's been struggling with that. So we'll have to see how he works through it.
Yeah. And he will, you know, that's the one thing. Just 1 year does not make a career, and one slow start does not end a career. So let him keep at it. And we'll see where it goes as the season goes along. So going on to batting around, Mrs. Reliever Reggie Lawson recorded the win Saturdays in relief of Ryan Berger. Lawson went 1-1/3 inning, while allowing one run on two hits and striking out two batters. For the right-hander, it was his first win since June 20th, 2022.
So he's born again.
Yeah.
See, he retired and now he came back.
He's still 26 years old. He's still very young.
He is, but in baseball terms, that's not too young. I mean, he's already walked away and come back once, but it's just great to see him back up on the mound and starting to find some success again. And then on Friday, Robert Perez Jr. wasn't the only Missions player finding success on the base paths that night. The Missions were successful in all five of their steal attempts. This is the first game with five steals for the club since August 22nd, 2023. Love the aggressiveness on the base paths.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. All right. Let's move on to
El Paso. One thing about minor league baseball is that the level of the defense isn't quite that. Good luck running in the major leagues. There's a reason why you don't see Ricky Henderson type numbers in the majors. But at Double A, you know, the infield defense isn't quite so tight. Yeah. And so there's an opportunity if somebody's got the wheels. And I love forcing the defense to make the play. It just, you never know what kind of chaos is going to happen.
Absolutely. So moving on to El Paso, pain in the corners. Lake Bacher has pitched a scoreless sixth inning and picked up his third win, which is now tied with Nolan Watson and two other Pacific Coast League pitchers for the league lead. Bacher has not allowed, he's only allowed one earned run in 12 innings this season. And then again on Sunday, he didn't allow any runs and has allowed only one run in 12 2/3 innings this season. Lake Bacher is certainly making a name. And we said this last episode, certainly making a name and a push for him to be considered the next call up coming out of the bullpen in El Paso up to the major leagues.
Yeah. You keep getting guys out. At some point, they got to give you a chance.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So on the screws, some good news. We've been waiting to hear this. Friday, Tirsor Nailas went 3-for-4 with two doubles after entering the game 3-for-4 this season. He added his first homer on Saturday. He's been off to such a slow start. Yeah. I got to wonder if he's working on some mechanical adjustments, on some approach adjustments, if it's not just a slump, if he's really, you know, trying to incorporate something different and it's taken some time to take hold.
Yeah, he was 3-for-34 to begin the season. 3-for-4 is great to see. And, you know, last year he was so close. But here's the thing. If you're going to make the major leagues, you have to do it consistently. He has to hit 3-something this year to be considered for a call up. And, you know, with the outfield as tight as it is, there's potential there, maybe, you know, maybe in the future. But right now it just looks like we just need to get his feet underneath him. And this is a good sign.
Right. Well, and the story last year and a couple of years is that the ground ball rate, he hit the ball hard, but he puts the ball on the ground a ton. So seeing that it's two doubles and then he hit a homer in the next game, I'm wondering if he worked on some things to try to elevate the ball a little bit more. And that kind of adjustment could take a while to really become natural.
Yeah.
So Saturday, outfielder Oscar Mercado went 2-for-5 with a home run, a double, and three RBIs. Mercado has hit one home run in each of the Chihuahuas' four series. Last year, he just went off with the Chihuahuas. And then second baseman Nate Mondu went two for five with a double in his first home run. Nate Mondu had a heck of a week in El Paso last week.
Absolutely. Batting around Gabe Moser, here's some bad news. He's 27 years old, who pits, friend of the podcast as well, who pitched last year in Lake Elsinore and San Antonio, made his AAA debut, only managed to get one out, ending up with a ugly 189 ERA.
I don't think I've ever seen an ERA calculated that high.
No, you see it.
I'm sorry. That's rough.
Yeah,
Seven earned runs, and he only recorded one single out. His whip is 24. That's walks plus hits over innings pitched.
Oof.
I'm sorry, Gabe, if you're out there, and Mr. and Mrs. Moser and the whole Moser clan, it's going to get better.
It will get better. And the next time he pitches, the next out, that ERA slices in a third, and it goes down, and it goes down. So it's just, I saw the number, and I had to put it in the batting around, and it's going to get better. We love Gabe.
Well, so Gabe is coming off of Tommy John surgery. He pitched last year. He pitched in, 17 games last year, limited to 53 innings. So it's his second year back from Tommy John. It's his first time at AAA. So, you know, it's a whole new world.
Yeah.
It's going to take a little bit of time, but I'm glad to see him back out there and competing. Yeah. Hopefully once he gets this off to this rough patch past him, we'll have to run some math and eliminate this first game from his stat line.
And you can let that one go. And that's one thing about developing in the minor league and in sports in general. You always forget about what you did yesterday, good or bad. It doesn't matter. It's done. You move.
Well, I remember last year, Pedro Avila had an ERA of like 9 all season. And then they called him up and he was really good. And so it's not just about what the stat line says. It's about the other things that they see you doing that they think are going to translate to the next level.
Absolutely. Speaking of translating to the next level, Clay Dungan's 25 RBIs lead the Pacific Coast League.
Yeah, he's an interesting – he's like a utility infielder, never hit for a whole lot of power, but he's got a little bit of pop this year, maybe the thin air, playing Coast in Albuquerque and Reno and El Paso and all these – that helps. But utility infielder, him and Nate Mondu, we got a few guys like that you know, if they pop and an opportunity arises, who knows, you might see him at the majors.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, that's all we've got for you this week. Thanks for sticking around with us. We're going to be back here again next week. But in the meantime, click like, click subscribe. Tell your friends, tell your family. You can find me on Twitter. I am at @Zippy_TMS.
You can find me on Twitter at ST Donovan and Friars on the Farm.
Yes, Friars on the Farm. We'll see you next week.
Next week.